Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little hard?
One of the greatest vocal performances in the history of music. And Wilson doing Stairway to Heaven at the Kennedy Center Honors. We should carry the last bit of it here, Sean. Came this far.
And she's buying Stay Away to Heaven.
If you've never watched this video, do yourself a favor and just look it up on YouTube. Heart, Stairway to Heaven. The staging, the choir that's with them, John Bonham's son on the drums. You got two main guys in Led Zeppelin watching up in the stands with tears in their eyes. It just doesn't get any better than that. Good Friday to you. Kind of excited. This is actually very fun for us because my wife and I, when our girls were little, we would invite their friends over on Easter. And we have a pretty good-sized backyard, and we would do a big Easter egg hunt. And then our girls got older, and we would still do an Easter egg hunt. And if a lot of parents can probably relate to this, you know, our daughters now, they're just doing it because mom and dad enjoy it, not because they particularly enjoy it. But the way you still keep them interested into their mid-20s and early 30s, put some cash in the eggs or gift cards, you know, stuff they really want. And so we still do the Easter egg hunt for our adult daughters, which it's fun. It's cornball. We're kind of a cornball family in many ways. I remember one of my daughters had a friend over, and they were cooking something, and the friend happened to be an African-American girl. And they needed a mixing spoon, and we have a wooden spoon in our utensils drawer, and it has a happy face, a mouth hole and two eye holes. And my daughter's friend pulled out the wooden spoon, and she looked at my daughter. I was in the living room. She said, "I swear, you are the whitest family I'll ever know." It was just a great lot. So anyway, we still like doing the Easter egg hunt. But it's very exciting because we now have next-door neighbors who have little kids. 4, 2, and, about 8 months maybe. And so we were talking to them yesterday. And we ran into them on our walk. And we're going to do the Easter egg hunt for the neighbor kids now, too. So it's very exciting. I enjoy this a lot. And I bring this up because I just saw this story. A student group at the University of North Texas, they placed 250 Easter eggs around campus. And they put a little, the two-piece Easter eggs, plastic. And they put Bible verses inside the Easter eggs. Well, the left-wing activists on campus went berserk. Why that would set somebody off, I have absolutely no idea, but it did. They announced, the left-wing activists announced on social media that they would compete to see who could capture and destroy the most eggs. One student messaged the chairwoman of the group that put the eggs around campus and told her to kill herself. Another student tweeted, "Time to stomp some eggs. Time to do a capture the egg challenge, everyone." They just went nuts. Wonder what it's like to have that much hate for people because they believe something. It's very strange. And if you're one of those people, because every time I don't proselytize a lot on the show. I really don't. But my faith is a bedrock essential part of who and what I am, and who and what I am shapes the prism through which I view the world and everything that I talk about. So if you are one of those people who just gets berserk, furious, out of your head when you hear something about faith, this story is for you. So on this Good Friday, Jesus' last words on the cross, "It is finished." The three most important words in all of language for Christians. It is finished. Because the Greek equivalent, the only word in Greek that really matches up with finished, it's actually three words: paid in full. Which is what was meant by Jesus dying on the cross, that all the sins we commit and all the things that we need to atone for, he took it for us. It is finished. Our debt of sin is paid in full on this Good Friday. If you're a person of faith, then, of course, on Easter Sunday is the realization of that. So if you're one of those people who just can't stand expressions of faith, that was for you. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Well, the first time I talked to this guy several months ago, he was just a kid with a dream. The dream was to get rid of Kshama Sawant on the Seattle City Council, and it took a huge leap forward yesterday when the state Supreme Court said the recall Sawant campaign can move forward. The guy who got it rolling, Ernie, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Ernie, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, great. Because the one thing, Dory, I want to make sure that I affirm, because the Sawant supporters, they obviously they make this like it's a right-wing conspiracy. It's big business. It's Amazon. But as you know, I've talked to you before. I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I'm a gay Asian American that lives on Capitol Hill. I support $15 minimum wage. I support Medicare for all. I support the Green New Deal. So I'm like the opposite,
right,
of this right-wing.
And I'll get into I want to get into all that, because I get the numbers to back you up on this.
Got
one.
It.
But
perfect.
So then and now, why do you think Sawant needs to be out of the Seattle City Council?
You know what? Dory, as we talked about in the past, she is the most divisive figure. I always tell people she's kind of like the left-wing version of Donald Trump. She's a bully, number one. She bullies people. She, if you don't agree with her, she doesn't want to talk to you. She's not a collaborator. You know, I had a friend that was on the city council for a short period of time. I don't want to name his name. You know him. And he said, you know what, Ernie? She didn't want to meet with him. I met with all the city council people because I was going to be there for 10 months. And yeah. I met with all the city council except for Sawant. Sawant said, here's my manifesto. Do you agree with my manifesto? And he goes, well, Kasama, I agree with some of it, but not all of it. And she goes, if you don't agree with all of it, I'm not going to meet with you. Is that crazy?
Well, it's crazy, but it's not surprising. The last time I talked to her, she hung up on me, and she hasn't talked to me since. So I know what it's like to be shunned by Sawant. So what was your reaction when the Supreme Court said you guys can move forward with the recall campaign?
It was so, Dory, to be honest with you, the judgment supposedly was going to happen on January 6th, right? And it came up on April 1st. And so we were like shocked that it took so long. And I actually had an interview with Justice Mary Yu last week as part of my podcast for the anti-hate, Asian American broadcast that I did last week. And she said, Ernie, I can't talk to you about it, but she said, Ernie, guess what? We have 9 justices, right? We have opinions, and we rotate the opinions. So we basically we all write our opinions, and we kind of rotate around. So we have a lot of discussion. So I said, that's why it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It took four months.
It was ridiculous.
Like January, February, March. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Okay, so now let me get to the point you were making at the very beginning. The big lie that Swant is pushing is what you said, that this is the right wing wants her out of there, Amazon wants her out, big business. Here's the fact of the matter. I've got the numbers. I got the dollar figures. The Save Swant campaign, most of the money has come from out of state. Now, why would people out of state care about a socialist city council member in Seattle? It's they want Seattle and Portland to be the grand experiment, the petri dishes of socialism, right?
You're right. I mean, about 85% of our donations are from the city of Seattle. Okay.
Right.
And I would say her donations, like you said, is about 55 or 60% of her donations are from out of state.
Exactly. And from in Seattle for the Recall Swant campaign, it's mostly from her district, which is a very liberal district. So as you know, you're a part of it. So when she says that this is some conservatives want to get rid of me, she's just lying. It is the liberals in her district who are just sick and tired of her, right?
Yeah. You know what? Dory, there's so many people that have emailed us that said, you know, I am as liberal as you are. And the thing about it is that they don't agree with her because, number one, she's divisive, right? She's divisive. She doesn't want to collaborate. She doesn't want to work with anybody. And it's either her agenda or the highway. So screw you if you don't agree with me.
Yeah.
So that's very divisive. Everyone in our district does not like that. I know that she did get reelected in 2019 by a very slim margin, but guess what? I think most people in our district, I believe that we will win. And obviously we're going to need to get, Dory, 10,800 signatures. We're probably targeting about 13 to 14,000 to make sure that we're going to have it. We get 180 days to get the signatures.
So where do people go if they want to help you out and get rid of her?
So you need to go to Swant. S-A-W-A-N-T recall.org. So SawantRecall.org. And you can donate because obviously, believe it or not, Dory, she's raised $309,000.
Oh, I know. The Save Swant, the out-of-state Save Swant, we want socialism. They have more money in their account right now than you guys, Recall Swant people.
Yeah, they do. They do. And so, obviously, most of our expenses so far has been with our legal firm. We had a really good lawyer. We had John McKay, who was former U.S. attorney for Western Washington before Jenny Durkin. And he works for Davis by Tremaine. So he really did a good job for us in getting us our court ruling in King County and defending us in the Supreme Court. So
okay, and last McKay. Thing, we just have a couple seconds here. But do you have to be a Seattle resident to sign the petition?
You can donate. Anybody can donate. I don't care where you live. You can win, and you can live in San Francisco. You can donate, but unfortunately, for the petition, you do have to live in District 3, which is primarily Capitol Hill, Madison Park, Leschi, and Madrona. So that's kind of quasi. You can look on our website in terms of SawantRecall.org. You can look at our website to see where the district is. So it's only District 3 that we can get the 10,800 signatures that we need.
Okay, so you're going to be knocking on a lot of doors, I assume.
Well, what we're going to do, Dora, you'll love this. So obviously in the terms of COVID, what we did is that we're working with King County Elections, because it's public information, is that every precinct that Egan O'Ryan was the opponent against Sawant in 2019. So every precinct that Egan was competitive or won in District 3, we're actually going to send every resident a petition signature document.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to ask them. Yeah, we're going to ask them to sign it. Have everyone in their house that's a sign it. Ask their neighbors to sign it, and then we're going to have them to return it to us. And we believe that we could probably get the 10,800 signatures within about 60 days.
Very smart. I love activists like you, Ernie. Nice job on this one.
Great. Thanks a lot, Dory.
Your read on The Big Lead.
I got an interesting email that I just thought I would share with you. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked with a 19-year-old recent Shorewood High School graduate. And she was very upset about a bill down in our legislature, House Bill 1356, which prohibits the inappropriate use of Native American names, symbols, or images as public school mascots. And this girl went to Shorewood High School. They are the Thunderbirds. And because their Thunderbird logo looks Native American, they no longer can be the Thunderbird. And that did pass this legislative session. They can no longer be the Thunderbirds. So I got an email from listener Jim, and he asked a really interesting question. So with the passage of House Bill 1356, banning the use of Native American images, names, and symbols for state schools as culture appropriation, will the state also be banning state employees from wearing Seahawks clothing and merchandise at work? How can the state take a moral high ground if they are directly or indirectly endorsing the Seattle Seahawks? Personally, he writes, I love this dilemma. Though I grew up on the mean streets of Broadview and we're only a few months apart in age, I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I love the show. Been a listener since the 90s. Very nice. Isn't that an interesting question? Because Seahawks logo is undeniably looks Native American. Why just ban that in the public schools, which is going to cost the schools tens of thousands of dollars to change out every sports uniform, every cheerleader uniform, band, repaint the gym floor, put up new signage at all the schools. It's just going to waste a ton of money. But there's not a huge public outcry, because there aren't enough of those schools. But, man, can you imagine if they tried to do the same thing with the Seahawks? It's kind of gutless of the legislature, isn't it? We'll go after the public schools because they won't be able to mount a big outcry. But Seahawks, we'll leave that alone. And Jim's point isn't ban the Seahawks logo. He said, should they ban state employees from wearing the logo at work, since the legislature has taken such a stand? What a great job of pointing out the hypocrisy, Jim. Nice job. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, I love Fridays. We have a good batch of awesome audio of the week. Today's Sign the End is Near, and lots of other news to cover, including an outrageous bit of our government telling us how to talk. Details straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. about this song, because I swear to you, every Friday, you know, I'm listening to it so carefully now. It's like three notes, and then the three notes, it's just repeating the six-note pattern.
Yeah.
With a bass drum. But every Friday, right after we play this, I get emails from people asking, what is it? They never ask about other bumpers, or hardly ever. What is it about this song that I and so many listeners are just so dialed into?
Yeah, I don't know, Dory, and myself too. It's just, and especially if we play this version with lyrics, it's just got this really, I find it soothing almost, you know, and just sort of trance-like. Yes. And so, and it's a 10-minute song, so if you actually listen to the whole thing, it's it just really relaxes me, and maybe that's part of the part of the draw.
But it's just, seriously, it's like six notes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Here, bring it up full, just for a few more seconds. I was, before COVID hit, I was starting to gain, I don't know if I told you about this, Sean. I'm starting to gain a little national and even a little international notoriety as a EDM DJ.
Oh, no. That was before COVID hit?
And then COVID hit, and my tour that I was going to do got canceled. And it's killed all my momentum.
What's your DJ name?
DJ Dory.
How did I know you were going to say that? You know, if my name, so I've got this DJ name I love, DJ Tanner. Yeah, it's not super original, but it's funny. If you get it, it's a Full That's House cute. Joke. But I was thinking the other day.
Sean, what? How many times do I have to tell you, don't explain your jokes to me?
Oh. Well,
I actually get them all. I'm not one of those dense talk show hosts that has to have everything explained to them.
Well, maybe I was talking to certain members of the audience that are maybe out of the demographic of Full House, you know?
Okay.
Sort of an emptier house for these people. So anyway, as I was saying on the radio show that you had, if my name was DJ, I might call myself DJ DJ.
Okay.
If I was a DJ.
Well, you still can be.
Well, I can.
So
All right, so I've got two names, trademark.
I like it.
Thanks, Dory.
Yeah, I should trademark DJ Dory, too.
I like it.
Nicole, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much have you enjoyed this conversation?
Oh, geez. I'm not even paying attention at this point.
Again, it's the same six notes as sort of what people say about this show sometimes, I think.
I'm working on awesome audio.
Yeah. No, they tell me I just got one note. All my critics, one note. Sick of hearing you talk about it. One of my friends who covers the legislature, I just saw this. I would have had him on the show if I'd seen it sooner. Dory, well, the left is celebrating their success for passing a wasteful, low-carbon fuel standard, skipping the Transportation Committee in the Senate to get it through. This is the group secretly underwritten by a Finnish oil company that does biofuels on the side to green themselves up. How about that? A Finnish oil company that tells everybody we're green, we do some biofuels too, is funding jacking up your taxes here in Washington State. This legislature, man, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Massive tax hikes being pushed through, and in a, you know, still a recovering economy. And they have the budget balanced. They don't need new taxes. They're trying to get that income tax. Oh, my gosh, they're pushing for that income tax. Here's why you absolutely cannot allow this income tax to happen. Don't be fooled. They call it a capital gains tax. I'm going to play a clip from yesterday down in Olympia because they've been telling everybody for more than a year, you know, we know you voted overwhelmingly for $30 car tabs, and we know that the voters really want some relief because it really hurts the poor and the working class and the middle class when they get a $400-$500 car tab bill. And we're going to give you some relief in this next session. They just lied and lied and lied about that. And then yesterday, they made the decision, nah, not going to give you any relief at all. So Tim Iman, very polarizing guy, but he's the guy who pushed the $30 tab initiative. And he testified as they yesterday said, now we're not going to cut taxes at all on car tabs. And I want you to listen to how our elected representatives talk to people who disagree with them. I want you to listen to this because it really is revealing.
There shouldn't be anything going forward. There should be a little sugar to help the medicine go down for you to actually acknowledge the fact that voters voted to lower their car tabs down. There's no acknowledgement of that at all. All you're doing is just simply going after the same people that you're ignoring on their $30 tabs and turning around and jacking up their taxes.
Mr. All the people Iman, be careful not to impugn the motives of any of our good members.
Okay. What did he do to impugn the motives? Their motives are to jack up taxes and to hurt low-income people as much as possible because that's what they do. Those are their motives. I guess I'm impugning their motives. Mr. Iman, do not impugn the motives of the members. So then listen to how this ends.
Very good. I'm only impugning the motives of the entire legislature. No one seems to be acknowledging the basic fact that the voters voted for this.
Mr. Iman, you're finished. Please cut off the mic.
Can you believe that? You're finished. Please cut off the mic. I don't like what you're saying, so I silence you. Our government silences free speech. Our government silences dissent. Nicole, did you ever figure out who that legislator is that I'm in talking to there?
Yes, it's Representative Jake Fay, F-E-Y.
Did you ask him if he'd come on the show?
I did put in a request. He was not able to do today. They're checking on Monday for us.
Okay. Okay. Because I would appreciate it, Representative, if you would come on and explain to me when you are working for us, and I didn't hear anything that, you know, dripping with hatred or vitriol, and that you silence people. Government's not supposed to silence us. That truly is what the First Amendment's about. You know, your private employer can silence you, but government cannot. So I'll see if I can get that representative on to talk about that interaction there. But anyway, no relief of the outrageous, illegally calculated car tabs, despite the overwhelming vote of the people. That's what they do with every single tax. That's why you cannot allow this capital gains income tax to happen. Call the legislative hotline. 800-562-6000. And by the way, the three reps on the low carbon fuel standard, who are the senators who could still kill this thing, Lisa Wellman on Mercer Island, Steve Conway in Tacoma, Reuven Carlisle in the Seattle area. If you're in one of those districts, get a hold of them. Nicely tell them, don't raise our taxes. Don't do this to us. 800-562-6000. Awesome audio of the week next. We come. What a week. What a show. What a show. What a week. Again, good Friday to you. And then, of course, Sunday is the most important day on the Christian calendar, the day that gives promise of everlasting life. So if you're a believer, happy Easter to you coming up on Sunday. And if you're not, happy Easter to you too. I love you as well. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
Pretty good batch this week. I'm liking this batch. Let's start with our governor, Jay Inslee, who, even though he's been vaccinated, still wears a mask. It's all theater. But he says that, you know, I've told you. I have told my daughters, I think that it's a wash whether they should get the vaccine or not. Tiny upside, tiny downside of getting the vaccine for them. But having talked to them in the last 24 hours, I think all three of them have made the decision themselves that they are going to get the vaccine when they can. But Jay Inslee says the fact that I'm not pushing them to get the vaccine means that I don't love, which is weird because there's nothing I love more on this earth than my wife and my daughter.
If there's anybody you love in your life, get the vaccine for them. Girlfriend, boyfriend, neighbor, relative, if there's anybody you love, please get the vaccine because it's an expression of love for them so you don't infect them. So I think these are pretty powerful reasons to get the vaccine.
Vaccine is love, according to Jay Inslee. It's just, it's gotten so ludicrous. And yeah, as I said, I'm getting the vaccine. But I still recognize how outrageous this is. My body, my choice, except for the vaccine. Jill Biden, she was speaking to some farm workers in California, and she wanted to, the phrase, si se puede, it's the motto of the United Farm Workers of America, yes, you can. But Dr. Jill, she had a little trouble. You know, just don't try to pander to people by throwing in a few words if you can't even come close.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours. Thank you.
As Sean said a couple days ago, she went all Elmer Fudd on us. Si se puede. Puede. Dr. Jill. Let's see what else we have in our awesome audio here. I really enjoyed this one. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she at first was outraged at the horrible human rights abuse on the border. Video came out this week of people throwing infants over the fence onto the U.S., onto the desert floor on the U.S. side. Another video showed them throwing a little infant into the Rio Grande, hoping that somebody in the river would catch the baby. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is America's conscience, she told us something important about this surge.
Just gut check. Stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. This is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents, and we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
I absolutely 100% agree with her. Anybody who uses the word surge for what's happening at our border is a white supremacist and is a hateful human being. Anybody who uses surge is a white supremacist.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Our nation is led by a white supremacist. I'm moving to Canada. All right, happy Holy Weekend to you. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom Curley Show coming up next. See you Monday. High noon.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news. It's over. We are screwed. This is the worst.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.